Welcome back once again, 318th installment, Parish of the Patriots. I'm glad you came back this week. I'm glad you joined us. If you are new, if you just stumbled upon this, I hope you have a pleasant listening experience. Show's roughly an hour, and I ask that you will stay through it for the whole thing. We do have a Christian-specific segment, a sermon, if you would. That is roughly the halfway point of the show. And even if that's not usually your cup of tea, I encourage you to give it a listen at least once, especially if you are an actual Christian believer, because that's what it's for. It isn't about it's not focused on trying to convince anybody who isn't. But you might get something out of it even if you're not. You know, unless you're just a completely godless heathen, then I guess it doesn't matter. But I encourage you to give it a shot. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. It's easy. You just look here on the description page for the show on Radio Albion. It's right there. We got the snail mail. It doesn't get any easier now. I don't know. There's no way to make it. No way to make it any easier. I was thinking about back, you know, many, many moons ago, you know, and the only way would be cryptocurrency. And people be like, well, can't you just have a snail mail address? And now all I have is a snail mail address. And people are like, don't you have crypto? I don't. The crypto addresses on here are left by Sven before he went away. And I have no access to those. So, you know, it is what it is. And it is very much appreciated when you do so. So this week, we actually have one in the listener supporter mailbag. It's nice. Very nice. Dear GPD, we may all keep up with the political clown show, but we've always loved your unique take and humorous commentary. Sven always introduced you with a smile and a chuckle. Be well. May God bless. That's from Nick. Thank you. Thank you very much, Nick. And I miss the days of doing it was always a pleasure doing shows with Sven. It is always, and then the roundtable shows we did with Sven, myself, and Dr. Johnson. I mean, those are always a blast. Sven, I am in regular contact with Sven, and he is doing well. I mean, with all things considered, he's continuing to soldier on, and he's in this halfway house still. But I mean, he's doing fine. I can't get into details, but I mean, he's doing great. You know, he's not having ridiculous issues or anything. So looking forward to the day when he's 100% free of the system. Very much so. I know I don't give updates as regularly as I should on Sven, but I mean, there's really nothing to update. It's kind of just the same thing, just basically letting time go by. That's all we can do. But he is very much appreciative of all the support he's got, and those of you who donated, you know, over the years, you know, as from the time this first broke and he had this problem, this trouble, to now, it has made a difference. It has made a huge difference. You know, when you've planted the seeds, and he's going to be more able when the time comes to go on and to move on with his life. Cause that's what we can do. We got to keep moving on. We got to keep moving on with our life. People are not moving on. I'm recording this on Sunday, and I was just reading before doing this show, you know, they had these organized anti-Trump protests. And y'all know I'm tired. I really wore out with some of this. But they have these anti-Trump /Musk protests. And one of the things they're complaining about, you know, is we're against billionaires and we should stop the corruption. And the detachment from reality with all of that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Y'all know me. And I'm not in a cult period one way or the other. But this detachment from reality, these protests organized by all these groups who were basically at the end of the day, I'm assuming, mad because, you know, some of their funding has been threatened. This is what this is all about. Their funding being threatened, a.k.a. money being stolen via the government system, you know, protesting about corruption. It's people, how do you show up for this stuff? This goes back to, again, I've mentioned this before, and I've toyed with the idea, I'm just still in the toying with the idea that there might be people among us in this world who are literally non-player characters, because there is no logic there. There's no reason. They just take in information and regurgitate it back out. And even things that are, you know, don't require any sort of thought at all to realize are contradictory in nature. It doesn't matter. They just, it's like they unplug the chip, plug the chip in. It's like the meme. It's just like it's real. I saw a deal the other day. I was watching a video, you know, about outrageous police, corrupt police behavior, you know, because we have this horrible militarized police system that we didn't used to have in this country, but we do now. That came in after 9/11. And somebody posted a comment basically blaming this on Trump and Musk. Like, this behavior, this militarized police force just started earlier this year. That is so detached from reality. You have to think that maybe these people are literally non-player characters. They don't reason. They don't have logic in their brains. They don't have reason in their minds. And they just simply take in information and regurgitate it out. Because how the hell else do you act like this just started? Oh my gosh, you see, this is a classic example of Trump and Musk are just shredding the Constitution. Where were you when Obama executed two American citizens without even a grand jury indictment or a trial? Where were you then? These are the same people that will correctly criticize people who've turned Trump into a, you know, like a cult, a personality cult. And they'll point out that these people are just blind to everything he does because he can do no wrong. They're so stupid. But when it was Obama, the people doing the criticizing at the Trump people were they just switched places. They just keep switching places back and forth. Non-player characters. I had a little time to myself yesterday. I was having to do a little driving, and I was driving by myself, which was gave me a great opportunity to reflect and think about these. I've been kicking around this idea that some people are so devoid of any kind of reasoning ability that you have to think maybe they don't have a soul. I'm not saying that in a manner of dehumanizing people. I'm saying that in the matter of literally, maybe, because I don't understand. You know, I can't understand how anybody can have a complete inability to hold, you know, two opposing views, like basically overnight, and that not like say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. This isn't normal. It amazes me. And I was thinking about these non-player character type of people. And I thought, well, you know, maybe instead of they just don't have the ability, maybe this goes to the fact that people are so bound and determined to give up their free will. They are. This is one of those, and it's going to be a little preachy early, but it reaches a broader point. So bear with me. People will talk all kinds, you know, that, boy, they want their own free will. Atheist Spurgs will sit there and say, one of the problems I have with your God is there's no free will. And it's just showing their ignorance. Free will is a gift from God. And people don't appreciate it. A lot of people, maybe even most people, if you look around clown world today, they're doing everything they can to get rid of their own free will. They don't want it. They want to listen to Rachel Maddow or CNN or, whoever the hell else, and just hear what they're supposed to think and then go with that. Or if you're on the other side of that divide, listen to Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or whoever, they have Fox News and input and then regurgitate it out. They don't, you know, see reason, using your reason, using your mind, using your brain. See, they won't do that. They'll talk about, oh, yes, people got to have their free will. I don't want anybody taking my free will. But they do. They don't. They do everything they can to hand their free will off, to give it away. They just want somebody else to tell them what they think, what to think, and then they just go with that. Anytime they don't want it. And I think this is because, see, here's the problem with free will. Again, people talk hella shit about, boy, they don't want anybody taking their free will away from them. And yet, they do everything they can to unload the free will. Why is this? Because I think what it comes down to is, if you have free will, and you do, again, free will is given to you by God. You can't get rid of it. Even in trying to do so, you're making a choice. But anyway, you see, free will also comes with what? Responsibility. You see, if you have free will and you're making decisions in your life and you're making choices in your life, you're responsible for that. You own that. So when you screw it up, that's your fault. Nobody wants anything to be their fault, do they? They want everything to be somebody else's responsibility, somebody else's fault. Well, somebody told me that. You know, somebody heard that. Speech crimes, like in the UK and the EU, most of the time they're just based on vagaries, you know. Well, somebody could have heard that and could have decided to start hating, or somebody could have decided it's dismissing these theoretical, because most of the time there is nobody actually doing that. They can't produce a single person to come forward and say, yes, I was living my life in just nirvana. I was just living my life in a day-to-day utopia, and I stumbled upon this guy's podcast. And after hearing it, I just felt this emotion of hatred well up in me, and my life's been ruined ever since. They can't ever produce anybody like that. They always come up with a hypothetical person could have heard that, and it could have caused them to dislike somebody else. And what they're doing is they're saying people don't have free will. If that hypothetical person happened, they're responsible for their decision making. Is that not true? When they say, oh, well, they could have heard this and it could have made them do this, it doesn't matter. They have free will. They're responsible for it. But people, like I say, people talk about the love and the idea of free will, but they do everything they can to unload it. They don't want it because free will comes with responsibility. It means they're the ones that, you know, make the choice. It's a lot easier to just plug into whoever you want to. Again, whether it's MSNBC or Mark Levin or whoever, whichever side of these things you are on, they want to plug in. And by the way, I'm still suffering with it. I think my cold turned into bronchitis. So just bear with me, because you still have that throughout the show. But anyway, there's one, plug into these and then just turn their brain off, turn their mind off, and just take it in and regurgitate. And I think this is what results in this apparent non-player character behavior that you see in people. And these ridiculous concerts. I mean, how do you sit there and, you know, look, there's plenty of things you can find to criticize about, you know, that Donald Trump may be doing that would be legitimate criticisms. For instance, moving military equipment around, signaling that we may be getting ready to, you know, he may be getting ready to take the country to war with Iran. That's something very much worthy of criticism. You know, continuing to be subservient to the interests of Israel. Those are unique criticisms. We talked just on this show, last week or so, about, you know, rounding people up for criticizing Israel. Right? Of course, they start off with foreigners so that you'll say, well, we don't want them people here anyway. These things always grow. And eventually you wind up with everybody getting rounded up for criticizing Israel. There's plenty of room. My point here is, look, if these people want to criticize Donald Trump, look, there's plenty of things to criticize. I'm not a cultist one way or the other. But to sit here and say, oh my gosh, they may or may not, and I'm not sure how much they actually have done this, but they may or may not have cut off this money being funneled to these quote unquote groups, to these quote unquote organizations, these NGOs through USAID and other government agencies stealing this money, basically. Oh my gosh, they may have cut it off. That's corruption. My gosh, they fired all these government workers who weren't even showing up to work. Oh my gosh, stop the corruption. You can't expect people to take you serious when you're an idiot like that. I'm sorry, that's just stupid. You again, you want to criticize, there's plenty of things. You know, if I read an article by a leftist and they're criticizing Trump because of his Israel policy, that's fine. It has more credence if this person was also criticizing Biden for essentially the same policy, because all of them do the same policy when it comes to Israel. You know, that person has, you know, some kind of character. I might not agree with them on everything, but you can say, well, that's legitimate criticism. But to sit there and whine about stop the corruption, oh my gosh, they're firing government workers and not funneling money to these various schemes through USAID, the money's getting pocketed, by the way. That's just stupid. It makes you look like an NPC. It does. It just makes you look like an NPC. I keep seeing these videos of these various people, you know, this thing where they're vandalizing, keying people's Tesla. I saw one just the other day. You know, and those cars have cameras all over them, which I'm not a big fan of that, but they do. And you would think these people would know this, but and they always, there they are on camera, you know, dragging a razor blade or a key or whatever down the side of some rando's car. And every single time they look, they have the look. Oh, look, you know, it's the neckbeard Omega guy. I mean, you know, you just know before you even see, before they come into the camera view, like, I wonder what this guy is going to look like. Oh, he weighs 90 pounds and lives on a diet of soy. I mean, it just every single time. But the fact that they go down here, I saw this one the other day, and this woman went to the grocery store and came out, and this asshole had keyed her Tesla. Well, she went back to the camera and this overweight neckbeard guy, again, you just spot the guy coming across the parking lot. No, oh, it's going to be him. Walked down. He was all being clever. He put a jacket over his hand like, you're not going to know that's what he's doing. What gets me is these people think that somehow sticking it to Elon Musk. Newsflash. He already sold the car. He made his money. As much of his money is made from that. Most of his money was made, again, scamming the government with these carbon credits. But we've had that conversation. We can have it again if you want on another day. Some rando who has a Tesla, and most of these people, by the way, were probably left-leaning people because, what, a couple years ago, that was the end thing to do if you were loving the planet and a good thinker. But this idea that you key some Tesla and that's sticking it to Elon Musk and just instead just some random woman who went to Kroger. I mean, how do you come to that conclusion? What the hell is wrong with you to make you think that? They already sold the car. He made his money. He's done. This woman having to get her car buffed out, that she's paying for that. These crazy videos. I seen another one. And this guy whips over and cuts this lady. It's always somebody. They like to do it to women, by the way. But he cuts him off and jumps out and starts screaming about it that this is a Nazi car. What the hell? You people, this same person who's screaming at this rando woman that she's driving a Nazi car 2 years ago or less, was out there talking about it's the best car company in the world, sets the example, and we're saving the planet by driving around in one. And you see, non-player character mentality. You know, they don't stop and think, hey, wait a minute. It's crazy. It's crazy to me because people just, how do you, I can't. You know, I've said this before. I consider myself really good at understanding where someone else is coming from. I do. Even if I disagree with them, you know, if I'm talking to somebody that has some sort of mental faculties, I can at least figure out and appreciate where they're coming from. I may disagree and think they have come to wrong conclusions, incorrect conclusions, but I'm really good at that. I just am. I'm not bragging. You know, I don't think it's something super special. I think anybody should be able to do that. But when somebody is coming from a position that is completely incoherent, when somebody comes from a position of they've spent years social virtue signaling that a Tesla is a great thing because it means you actually care about not destroying the planet with carbon dioxide, and then just like a switch, it's a Nazi car. I can't empathize with where that person is coming from because there's no reasoning behind it. You know, there's not a train of thought there that I can look at and say, okay, well, I can see where you would come to, you know, this conclusion. I think you're incorrect because back here you missed this element of it. Maybe you should consider that. And no, I'm not sitting here saying everyone that's, you know, has a different political view is an NPC. That's just name calling, like what they do with things like quote unquote Nazi car. That's just, you know, fascist, Nazi, all that stuff is just name calling. They couldn't even define it if they wanted to. You know, I have dealt with, you know, I've talked online at least with leftists before that were actually able to reason, you know, without being hysterical name callers. And then you could understand where they were coming from and how they came to the conclusions they did. But to just sit here and flip a switch, you know, unplug, take the vaccine and plug in, stand with Ukraine. And that's their new thing. Because there is no reasoning to it. There's no logic. It's like their brains are just turned off. They have no mind. They turn their brain off and just whatever goes in, they regurgitate out. But again, I think instead of them being literal non-player characters in this world, I think this is just an extreme example of people surrendering their free will because they think it absolves them of responsibility. It doesn't, but they internally, and they don't, it's probably a subconscious thing. It's in their subconscious, they think that this means they're not responsible. I was told this. Y'all told me to. There's no reasoning there. You know, we've seen these stories, I'm sure you have too, where some of these more extreme examples of these people have gone out, you know, and like set fire to people's cars, to Teslas and stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, this, I talk about this funny because you're never going to catch me driving a Tesla. But they've literally committed arson in some cases. And the FBI has tracked these people down. And now these people are looking at 20 years in prison. And the same people who just a few short years ago were utilizing the FBI to harass and, you know, cause trouble for people they disagreed with and were like thinking that's a wonderful thing. Now it's gone the other direction on them, and this is a horrible injustice. You put it, I don't, like I said, I can't even understand where these people are coming from beyond just looking at them and saying they've just, it's easier for them just to whatever they hear on the media and they regurgitate out. That's just it. You know, and I also blame echo, you know, this leads, let me put it this way, because I think I can tie it together better than that. The other problem is because of censorship and whatever else, we're at this point of echo chambers. You know, people who are, say, Trump supporters, you know, they just listen to and watch content from people who agree with them. You know, one of the things, you know, I'm at episode 300. We're at episode 318. So over 318 hours of just this show. That's not counting Daily Nationalists, roundtables, or whatever the hell else. I don't even know how many hours of these shows I've done. Sven, before he went away, no doubt has done way more than that. And if you ask anybody who's been doing this a minute, because I guarantee you, if you ask Dr. Johnson about this, and I never have, because I assume he would tell you the same thing. If you do this for any number of time, one of the things you quickly realize is that a lot of people, they actually don't care about your opinion. Even people that listen all the time, they don't care about your opinion. They want to hear their opinion coming out of your mouth. You'll get emails and be like, you should be talking about this. It's like, well, maybe I don't feel like talking about that. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not bitching about, you know, honest suggestions. You know what I'm saying. I use your brain. You know what I'm saying here. People who are Trump supporters are going to watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts or talk radio or whatever else that are going to sit there and just keep telling them about how awesome everything Trump does is. Likewise, the leftists, because of censorship, they live in an echo chamber. And you got these two groups that are living in this echo chamber. They never listen to, watch, or consider anybody else's point of view. You know, they never challenge their own views. They just go in to seek out people that 100% agree with everything they say, and that's what they read, that's what they watch, that's what they listen to. So you have these echo chambers, and it creates this false idea that literally everybody thinks like they do. So they don't know, it doesn't compute when they run into somebody that doesn't think like they do. All things contribute to this. You know, one of the great ills I have come to the conclusion of in this society that we live in is social media. I have come to realize, you know, and I didn't always, again, this is what I mean about seeking truth and being able to change your views when you get new information, when you get new perspective. I didn't used to think this way, but now I view social media as one of the absolute worst things ever come upon us. I really do, because it encourages the worst behavior in people just by the way it's structured. Again, you go back to because of censorship, which is related to but not entirely on the same issue, but because of censorship, it naturally has created these echo chambers where people just sit there and the only people they interact with are people that agree with them. But even outside of that, because of the way it's structured, you know, if you want your tweet or Facebook post or whatever the hell else you're doing to quote unquote ticky talk, because what's it? Well, all these people, their goal is to quote unquote go viral. You got a bunch of likes and a repost and quotes because of your post or whatever. So it encourages people to get, you know, well, you got to top that now. It leads people to seek affirmation and compliments and whatnot from men, from other people, instead of from God. So it encourages that constant over the, you got to top the last thing. You got to top that. It leads people to say things that they shouldn't say. You know, you've got these leftists now who are shocked because they're literally talking about like killing the president. And then they wonder when they wonder when that comes back. And I don't know. How do I want to put this? Social media just encourages the worst in people. I have no social media. I will never have it again. I do not have any intention. When Elon Musk bought Twitter, Sven was telling me, he's like, you should try to get back on Twitter. And I'm like, no way, no hell. Because by then I already understood that it encourages the worst behavior. And yes, it just is the way it's structured. Then that applies to me too. You know? Anyway, they create these echo chambers. These people, they just want to surround themselves with people. They just want to take in content from people who are just going to say the same things. And it creates this false illusion that that's what everybody thinks. You know? So it must be right. And if there's people out there who don't think that way, there just must be something inherently evil with them. Ah. And sometimes this results in this more and more extreme behavior. Again, you go out and key some rando's car and you think you're sticking it to Elon Musk. That's NPC behavior. You haven't thought of how that is at all. You sit there and stop people screaming that they're driving a Nazi car. That doesn't even make any sense. It just makes you look like a fool. I don't know. You know, they don't want to think. They don't want to have free will. It means they're responsible for themselves if they have free will. So they surrender it. They pick somebody, some entity, to surrender it to, and then they're easily manipulated. And again, this applies across the board. They're easily manipulated. There's just whatever they're told, that's what they're going to roll with. And even if they were told the opposite yesterday, it doesn't matter. They just don't want to be responsible for it themselves. You know, it amazes me that the Trump derangement people don't realize that they're displaying just as much cultish behavior as the Trump can do no wrong. He's practically another messiah people. You know, they criticize those people and they don't realize they're just as cultish as their other side. They're just on a pony. They're not on a pony. I say, I've basically been sick for over a month now. I had the flu a while back. Right after I get over the flu, I get this horrible cold. Now the cold has turned into bronchitis. So you wind up with stuff like that. You wind up with stuff like they're a pony. They're on a pony. No, their opponents don't realize they're just saying they're the flip side of the people they're criticizing. And it never dawns on them. They're just being cultish because they're not thinking. They don't want to think. They want someone to do their thinking for them. Look, you're never going to wind up in a good place ever if you let somebody else do your thinking for you. You know? You know, you're not. All you're doing is opening yourself up for malicious actors. Because those are the people that are going to let you do that. You know, that are going to encourage you to do that. You know, again, I think that's important to emphasize. I'll say it again. You're never going to wind up in a good place if you hand your ability to think and reasoning over to somebody else. Because people who don't have malicious intentions are going to be like, well, figure it out yourself. And that's my attitude, you know. I mean, look, I speak my opinion here and I do the best to talk about the truth on this show. But, you know, don't ask me to solve every issue in your personal life. Figure it out yourself. It's not my job to do that for you. I don't want to do that for you. See, I don't want to manipulate or control other people. If you disagree with me on something, that's fine. You have your brain. You have your mind. Use it. You know, figure it out. Maybe I am wrong. I don't care. I literally don't care. But you see, the people who will glom on and grab a hold of that, they want to encourage you. Yeah, you don't need to think for yourself. You just need to listen to me. Anybody who tells you that, you don't need to think for yourself. I mean, they're not going to say it outright, but that's what they do because that's what they encourage. Anybody who says, oh, essentially, in not so many words, you don't need to think for yourself. Look, listen to me. And I'll tell you what to think and ultimately encourage you and tell you what you should do. That person, 100% every single time, is going to have bad intentions. They are. They're going to have bad intentions because somebody who doesn't is going to say, look, you have a brain. Figure it out yourself. I can't tell you what to think. I don't want to tell you what to think. I sit on these shows for 300 plus, heaven only knows how many hours, and I give my opinion, and I speak about things I believe are true, but ultimately it's up to other people to say whether they think that's true or not, figure it out. But people who sit there just essentially say, look, you don't need to think about these things. That's too hard. Just listen to me. I'll tell you what to think. A person who does that They do not have good intentions. They don't. They don't have 100% guaranteed. They don't have your best interest in mind. If they said, just turn your brain off, disconnect from your mind, and listen to me. It's never going to lead to a good place. Well, what we are going to lead to is a very good place. We're going to get into our Christian specific segment. So you know what to do. See it? Like, I'm getting so smooth with segging into these things. You know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, we may have a chance to get into several things today. I don't know. But I wanted to start off, as you well know, we've talked a lot on this show, in this segment, about the truth being the center of Jesus Christ. And he asked who he was. Way, the truth, the life. You're all familiar with that. The way, the truth, the life, with the truth being the center word, bracketed in the middle, if you would, of Jesus's description of himself. Well, I thought today we'd talk a little bit about the way, the first word he used, the way. Now, when we think of that, we think of the way. When people hear that, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. We think, well, he's the way to the Father. He's the way to the kingdom of God. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, and so on and so forth. And that's true enough. But I was thinking about this the other day. It means even more than that. He is the way. Not only the way to the Father, the way to the kingdom, but if we think about it, he shows us the way. And by what I mean by that is Jesus provides us an example. I don't know about y'all, but I'm the type of person, I have a very, very hard time learning things via a textbook. Back in the day, I remember back in the day when computers were pretty new thing, they actually came with manuals, with an owner's booklet. And you got your new computer and you could go through, the owner's manual, as it were. You go through the little book, and by the time you're done, you're like, only a genius can operate this thing. But if you started messing with it, it got easier. Now nothing comes with manuals anymore. Nothing comes with instructions. It drives me crazy. You buy something. I had to replace my water softener recently. And I got basically the same water softener that I had before, because the one I had before worked really well. It just got messed up, and part of that was my fault. But anyway, no, I'm not going to regale you with stories about my water softener. But, I got this thing in, and it's slightly different than the original because it's a newer model. But the first thing I noticed is the one I'd bought before, years ago, it came with a book. It told you all the different functions and what to do. Nothing now. You get a QR code. You scan it with your phone. They're saving that money. Saving that money on that booklet. Scan it with your phone. Of course, then it makes a PDF file, and I didn't have an app on the phone to read the PDF file. Yes, I know, you can download that, and I did. What the hell was I talking about? Let's get back on topic. I have a hard time reading a book, reading a textbook. I don't do well with that, and y'all may be the same way. But if somebody shows me, if I see somebody do something like one time, I can figure it out. Heck, half the time, as long as I pick something up and start messing with it and figuring out how it works, I can figure it out. You give me any kind of machine and say, well, here it is. Run it. Give me about 30 minutes. Don't laugh at me while I'm figuring it out, but give me about 30 minutes and I'm good to go. But if you hand me the manual and say, we'll read through this and then operate the machine, we're going to have a hard time. Anyway, the point being that let's say you got hired onto a new job. You've never done this particular line of work before, but you get hired on in a new job and they hand you the employee handbook, the manual, and you start trying to read through that. And then they say, okay, now you're ready. You have a hard time. But if you hire onto a new job and they say, okay, well, here's one of our top hands follow him around and he'll show you what to do. See, Jesus is the way in that he has shown us what to do. He has shown us how to live. Think about this. First, we have the law. You know, God gave us the law, the prophets, and all these things. And it's like reading the manual. Yes, the information is there, but it's so difficult, if not impossible, to read into how you're supposed to handle. How do you read that into, how do you apply that? I'll spit it out. How do you apply that to every single little situation you're in? Or does it apply at all in every single situation? When are you supposed to react a certain way? When are you not? Jesus provided the example. Instead, okay, first, we got the employee handbook. We got the manual. But now, Jesus has given us the top hand to go around and follow and figure out how we're supposed to live. And this is a really amazing thing. Because you think about it. God essentially said, okay, now let me just show you how this is done. Y'all are struggling here. Let me show you how this is done. He came and gave us the way. He gave us an example. You remember years ago when it was a fad and people were wearing those little bracelets and stuff that said WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? It was pretty cringe. Nobody does that anymore for the most part. But it wasn't incorrect. Asking yourself, what would Jesus do? It wasn't incorrect. The problem is, sadly, that most people don't have any idea of what Jesus would do. See, as we follow the Lord and grow spiritually and continue to work on ourselves and to become more Christ-like, it becomes more natural. More, I mean, you don't have to think about it. You know, as is written, the laws are written on our hearts, you know, because you don't have to go to the rule book. You know, if you're at the job long enough, you don't have to go back and get that employee manual out and flip it open to see, you know, what you're supposed to do for everything. It comes automatically. You have an example to follow. And when you follow that example long enough, it becomes second nature. You already know what to do in any given situation. But sadly, so many people don't even know. You know, because they've been given this false, heretical, incorrect teaching of who Jesus even is. It just amazes me that so many people, and it's sad because a lot of these people earnestly want to seek the Lord. And they have no clue. They have no clue because they've gone to false teachers. They have people that are teaching them falsely, whether that's intentional or whether the person teaching them is an idiot and doesn't, you know, is ignorant, I guess would be the redder term, is ignorant and doesn't know any better. Anytime you hear of one, it's just, you know, you'll hear of a crime and somebody kills somebody. And then that person, the victim's family will be like, well, you know, even though this person who did it is completely unrepentant, the victim's family come out and talk about, well, God wants us to forgive, so I forgive them. That's what Jesus would do. No, it's not. No, it's not. Where every instance, Jesus gave the example that repentance is required. Taking a different, showing that, you know, yeah, you understand what you did is wrong, and now you're trying to correct that action any way that you can. Without repentance, where can forgiveness come in? This is why repentance and faith going hand in hand with our actions, it's all combined, is so necessary. We're demonstrating that we're taking corrective action, because this is directly tied to mercy. You know, God is patient and merciful, but if you think you're getting forgiveness when you're unrepentant, that's just absolutely incorrect. If you are unrepentant and live an unrepentant life and just go and wallow in sin and act like Jesus is a ticket to sin without consequence, so you're going to go indulge in sin, make that choice unrepentantly, and you think you're just going to roll up in the you think you're just going to roll up in God's hood, that you're going to roll up in God's neighborhood and be welcomed in, these people are going to be in for, you know, a rude awakening. When somebody sits there and says, well, I forgive my family member's murderer, because that's what Jesus would do, and that murderer is completely unrepentant, that's not what Jesus was put to do. You know, and it is, like I say, that really is one of those things that very much bothers me. Because, you know, I want to believe that these people are earnestly, they want to seek God. But nobody has told them, you know, they've fallen in with teachers who are giving them false doctrine. They're giving them false teachings. You can't know who Jesus is if anybody doesn't explain it. If you don't put in that work, if you get fallen in under the influence of a false teacher who presents this hippie peace and love Jesus that lets everybody run over him, and that's what it means to be righteous. You can't know. How are you going to know? Jesus, and I say that, they've fallen under the influence of false teachers, but here's the but. We all have a Bible. You know, you can go get a Bible. if you walked into any church and says and said, I want to learn about God, but I can't afford a Bible, I guarantee somebody in there will give you a Bible. You can get a Bible. You go stay in a motel. I don't know if they're still in there. But, you know, they used to put Bibles in the drawer by the nightstand. The Gideons did that. But anyway, point is, if you're serious about the Lord, you can get your hands on a Bible. And you can read the New Testament. And you can read it over and over again. And you, if you have any kind of ability to reason, any way to use your mind, you can start figuring out who Jesus was. And it wasn't, you know, he's not this pacifist, hippie, everybody can just run over you example. He's just not. You start getting that example. In other words, you can put in the effort. It's there. The information is there. Read the Bible. Give me an example of one time Jesus lied to somebody so they wouldn't be offended. Find one example where Jesus intentionally lied to somebody so it wouldn't hurt their feelings. To be polite. Show me one example where Jesus compromised on the truth because, you know, he was trying to look better in front of people. To not be comforted. Good night. Give me one example where Jesus ran away or shied away from confrontation, even with very powerful people. One example, you can't find it. And maybe we've talked many times on this show about how people don't understand what he meant, you know, by things like turn the other cheek and loving your enemies. We're not going to rehash that again here because I'm sure we'll wind up rehashing it at some point because it continues to be a stumbling point. You know, what it means to be humble, what humility means in a biblical sense. And so many people have no idea. They have this misinterpretation of what those things mean. But look at Jesus. You know, he wasn't somebody that just let people run all over him. How do Christians seem to forget the fact that he went to the cross voluntarily? They don't get that. They seem to forget that. You know, they said, well, he let people drag him and treat him that way, torture him, and execute him on the cross. So he was turning the other cheek. The point you're missing is those people didn't have power over him to do that. You know, he said, you know, I can call an army of angels right now, Harry, and basically kill everybody here if I wanted to do that. He had the power to stop it. He had to fulfill God's purpose. But he wasn't letting anybody run over him. He wasn't letting anybody, you know, just do things to him because he's weak and powerless and cowardly. You know, he had the power. In other words, how do you misread things like turn the other cheek and what biblical humility means and things such as that and misunderstand the way that the vast majority of people do when you can look at Jesus' example and that's not the way he was. That's not the way he lived his life. That's not the example he gave us. He's provided us the way. He's provided us a guideline, a map of what we are attaining to be. I say we should be going around mimicking. I'm saying the more we continue to seek to understand him, the more that's going to be reflected in us. The more it's going to become second nature to us, and the more Christ-like we become in our behavior, in our attitude, in the way we view this world. You know, what does that mean? You know, just an example is this more and more becoming aware of the temporary nature of everything in this world. The worldly, those of this world, those who are caught up in this world, their lives are in constant turmoil because everything of the world is a big deal to them. You know, something good is just the best. It's practically heaven on earth, even it's always short-lived because everything in this life is temporary. You know, trouble, turmoil, conflict, it's the end of the world. You know, every trial that comes along is this huge deal because this is what, you know, this is what's going on in my life right now. It's the end of the world. No, it's not. You know, everything is temporary. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we recognize that, you know, things that you're going through right now, worldly things, a year from now, you're not even going to remember it. I don't care how big of a deal it is. A year from now, you're going to be past it. You know, you're going to be past it. This requires overcoming. Because you see, the world teaches us the opposite. They want us enslaved. They want us constantly focused on the things of this world. They want the things of this world to be a big deal because it enslaves us. When you understand the temporary nature, Jesus said, don't fear those who the worst they can do at the end of the day is to kill you. Fear him that after you're dead can cast you into hell. In other words, keep that perspective. You know, this is temporary. These people can, yes, they can make your life miserable right now. They can even drag you off and put a bullet through your head. But then guess what? Once they do that, they can't touch you ever again. Hold on to the Lord. When you focus on the eternal and the things that are going to be the real life, remember, this is just the prequel. This is just the lead up. This is the 9 months in the womb before we're born. This is by no means it. They want us to stay focused on the things. They want us to be so caught up in worldly things that we never gain that perspective because that perspective gives us power. When everything they do, everything they can bring against you is temporary in nature, it takes their power away from them, you see. It takes their power away. When you have that perspective of what matters is the eternal, the things of God, you see, they don't have control over that, and they absolutely hate it. They purposely, and they're aided by false teachers in this, once again, they purposely twist the things in the Bible around to their own advantage to use against you. Again, to keep you enslaved to the things of this world. For instance, is a thing that people go through. You know, say next week, you've got this bill due. Your Visa bill is due. Your credit card bill is due next week, and you don't know how you're going to pay it. And your whole life is upside down because you got these bills to pay, and you don't know how you're going to pay it. And you're so caught up in it. It's like it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world because you can't pay this bill. And you ever stop to think, well, okay, what if you don't? You know, they're going to have Indian bill collectors call you? I mean, really, what are they going to do? And see, then they twist around and say, well, the Bible says the wicked borrow and do not repay. So you see, you don't want to be an immoral person and not pay, I don't know, J.P. Morgan their bill. You borrowed that money. I don't know how many times that people be like, oh, the Bible says the wicked borrow and don't repay. You don't want to be wicked if you don't enslave yourself to pay J.P. Morgan Chase. The Bible says usury is against the law. What they're doing isn't even biblically legal. And see, they twist it around. I mean, you owe them your soul so they can collect their 30% interest or whatever the hell they're charging. See, they twist it. Twist the things of the Bible to keep you enslaved. They turn their illegal debts into your moral obligation. It's just, I mean, just viewed, you know, objectively, they're really good at this trickery. They do something that is completely immoral and against God, usury, in its various forms. We're just focusing on debt here, this interest-bearing debt as our example, but there's actually many forms of usury. They do this thing that is completely, you know, against God's law. I always point out people, you know, the one thing you can easily point to that is so bad that both the Bible and the Quran forbid it is usury. And they do this and then turn around and say, you are immoral. You are an immoral person and God is upset with you if you don't essentially sacrifice your well-being and your soul to pay their usurious debt to them. You're evil. You're wicked. You borrowed and didn't repay. Please don't read those passages about usury. Now, I'm not saying don't worry about paying your bill, but be honest about it. If you can't, you can't. You know, if they come get your car, they come get your car. That is what it is. You know, if you don't sit there and just break yourself down over something that you don't have the ability to accomplish. Again, I'm not encouraging you to be foolish with your finances. What I am encouraging you to do is keep in mind that these things are temporary. Because when you lose sight of that, you really open yourself up into a downward spiral. People, you know, as an extreme example, people who wind up killing themselves are examples of people who have completely lost touch with the temporary nature of this world. It's the most extreme example. They've completely lost touch that all of this is temporary. But see, they lose sight of that to the point that they start spiraling. And well, they just don't see an end to it. They're going through something, usually something that they themselves have blown up into their mind to be this big, huge thing. It's usually not nearly as big as what they've created, but see, they've gotten that spiral. All they can think about is this thing. And they're so ate up with it, they can't look outside of where they're at and realize this is temporary. It will pass. You know, if I could tell something, if I could say something to any one of those people, say, stop. You know, look, this is just something temporary. You know, whatever it is. You know, the girl you thought was the love of your life has dumped you. Look, that's temporary. Keep looking forward. Keep moving on. And a year from now, yeah, you might remember, but she ain't going to have no hold on you. It's temporary. Keep moving forward. And when I don't say that as making light of people's issues. Look, I get it. But you always have to keep in mind this stuff is temporary. It's very tragic. It is. It's very tragic when you read these stories about young people, you know, people in high school, hell, junior high or whatever. And they wind up killing themselves because they're being bullied. And most of the time they're being bullied on the internet, which is like not real. These people keep posting these ugly things about me on the internet. As somebody who's had plenty of ugly things posted about them on the internet, look, that isn't really even real life. I mean, it is, but it's not. There's real people doing it and all of that, yes. But, I mean, go on and live your life. Whenever I read about one of these, it's like, so if you didn't look on Facebook, you wouldn't even know they're saying this stuff, would you? If you didn't look it up, you wouldn't know they were saying it. And yet people get so hung up and so caught up, and then they get in that sucked into that spiral that they kill themselves when their life hasn't even started yet. You know, their life hadn't even started and they off themselves. It's very tragic. Look, if you're a young person and you're getting bullied or whatever, you know, I'm not making light of that. You know, I know as a young person, I don't know how many young people are actually listening to the show. But if you are, if this is you, look, I get it. It's a big deal to you. And it's bad. It can be really bad. This is going to pass. You know, it's hard to see that now. But it will pass. And then you won't even remember these people. And, you know, if you keep your head up and keep moving forward in life, it's very quite likely that you can find yourself down the road in a really good spot. And then if you hear about these people again and remember who they are, you'll find out their life hasn't amounted to anything. Everything in this world is temporary in nature. Bad things, good things. They're all temporary. You know, you have a rainy season, then you have droughts. This is the cycle. This is how life is. When you're in one of those rough patches, look, it's temporary. It's going to pass. You know, keep getting up every day. It really bothers me when you hear about people that get in that spiral, because obviously no one has explained this to them. This is temporary. But you just say, oh, well, you know, just put up with it and it'll be okay. Look, that's not what you tell, but you explain this is temporary. You're going to get through it. It's difficult now. You're going to get through it one way or the other. Figure out a way to make it better. I don't want to just keep beating on this, but everything in this world is temporary. You can get through it. Don't get sucked into that spiral that you don't see. Look, when you start catching yourself, assuming you have an inner monologue, and you start catching yourself saying over and over to yourself, I just don't see a way out. There's no way out of this. I've looked, I've tried to solve this. There's just no way out of it. And no matter what I do, I don't see a way out. That's your clue. When you catch yourself saying that, I don't see a way out. That's a huge red flag. You're starting to get sucked into the spiral. It doesn't matter if you see a way out, because time itself will provide a way out. This is temporary. It is temporary because that's the way this whole system we live in this world, the creation, works. None of it is permanent. It's all temporary. I don't see a way out. That's the red flag. If you start finding yourself saying that, no matter what your situation, you're in danger of getting sucked into the spiral. Stop. And you know, maybe you don't see a way out. I understand. We've all been there. But the point is, it doesn't matter. Yes, you don't see a way out. That doesn't mean there isn't one. Because I can guarantee you, no matter what the situation, if you keep moving forward, it's going to get resolved. It's not a permanent thing. Yes, even if it's something extreme like, you've plunged, your car has plunged over a cliff, and you're watching the bottom coming up to you really quick, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't think of a way out of this. It's fixing to be resolved in the next 1.5 seconds. Because at the end of the day, this very life, everything in this life is temporary in nature. That's why we've got to live our life in a manner to where we're prepared. That goes back to looking at the example, the way that Jesus has shown us. We're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of today's show, especially the Christian specific segment, because I'll be honest, that's why I do the show. That is, that's, I enjoy all doing all the show, but this is the reason I do the show. Anyway, hope you got something out of it. And like I said, Dr. Johnson will be here tomorrow with his Orthodox Nationalist show, and he'll wrap up our week on Thursday with his Daily Nationalist show. So I do hope you enjoy the rest of the week. Hope you got something out of today's show. And as always, I hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.